Right there, we heard a selection of settings of Irish airs by none other than Ludwig van Beethoven in a recording from the Finnish pianist Olli Mustonen. Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 is being celebrated by the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra this weekend in a free online concert. Pay what you want. On the line right now, as promised, conductor Anne Harrigan. Good morning, Anne.
Well, good morning, Kara. It's so nice to hear your voice.
It's great to hear your voice as well. And you have put a lot of energy into getting us all involved in Beethoven's music for this concert. You know what? I went online the other day and found four videos in which you explain how you see and some of the highlights of each movement of the Symphony No. 7.
Well, thank you, Kara. Yes, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole. It is true. And I did create four videos, just sort of having an inside sneak peek into the different movements. And if you look online now, there's also one with the Tchaikovsky that just lays out some of the themes of the Serenade for Strings. So this is something just to get our listeners excited and to give them an idea of the background of the piece and some of the things they might listen for. And it was a lot of fun to do. I was fortunate that we have the great videography of Ingalls' pictures, and so we were able to include some of that also to give our listeners and watchers an idea of what they can expect on Saturday night.
Well, you are used to being in the public eye. You are used to, of course, conducting in front of thousands of people. But what was it difficult to turn to the camera and talk to the camera about Beethoven?
Yes, it was, Kara. This, of course, started in March. And I think when the pandemic started, there was about 2 weeks and we all sat there in shock and thinking it would be over in a month. And after a couple of weeks in Billings, my other orchestra, our social media director, who happens to be from Michigan, said, we've got to do something. And I will confess that the marketing staff has been asking me to videotape myself for years, and I have conveniently resisted it. Because I really hated the idea.
I'm a conductor, not a television personality. Yeah,
exactly. As you can look at the back of my head, that's all good. So clearly, this was something I was going to have to get over. And I dug through, you know, self-help videos and read some books and actually bought some equipment, started watching, really watching PBS and saying, how do they do this anyway? So I thought, all right, I can do this. So people have been very supportive. It's definitely a work in progress. And the other thing is the Battle Creek Symphony has a very tiny staff. So you're also talking to the video editor, which was probably the hardest part because I had to learn all that piece. It was something like, you know, click on one thing, go to YouTube, look up, all right, how do I do the next thing? Go back.
Well, they turned out very well, these introductory videos that explain each movement of this Beethoven symphony and the Tchaikovsky serenade also on the program. And I think they'll have a life after this concert. Anyone who would like to see a conductor's perspective of this music can access them beyond this concert?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And thank you, Kara. Yes. It was fun. It was fun to really spend some time, you know, thinking about what made these pieces exciting. And I learned some things along the way, as you probably have noticed since you were playing the Irish tunes by Beethoven. So it was a beneficial experience for me as well.
That stood out to me in your video about movement one of the Symphony No. 7 by Beethoven. Why not explain the mystery here, how these little pieces for piano based on Irish airs might relate to this magnificent 1811 symphony?
Well, it's very interesting because I've conducted this piece a few times. It's my favorite Beethoven symphony, I will confess, which is why I chose it to celebrate Beethoven's 250th birthday, which is easy for us to forget, but we're still in that celebration year. And so this was always scheduled to be our opening concert, even before the pandemic hit with Beethoven's Seventh Symphony. So that was the good news. We ended up moving it to our second concert, but because of just kind of getting through the logistics of learning to be online. But the Seventh Symphony is a piece that I first heard when I was in high school. And it was with the Minnesota Orchestra. I was a senior in high school. And surprisingly, I had not heard the Minnesota Orchestra up to that time. Professional music wasn't on my family's radar. It wasn't something that they did. I did play in youth orchestra. I was very involved in school. But it occurred to my mother that perhaps we should hear something other than the local high school and youth orchestra. So we went to the Minnesota Orchestra. Blew my mind, of course. And they were playing Beethoven 7th. And the next Monday, I had rehearsal with the youth orchestra, and the concertmaster of the Minnesota Orchestra happened to be there, and I came up to him and told him very excitedly that I'd heard this piece, and that second movement was so amazing, in which he played it in double stops for me. It was an experience I'll never forget. Clearly, he loved the piece as well. But let's talk about that first movement, Kara.
Okay.
The first movement is a bit of a bugaboo for conductors, because you always hear you're not supposed to whack the rhythm in a certain way, and orchestra players tend to go ba ba da ba ba da ba ba da, and that's a big no-no. And to some extent, as a conductor, I was like, really, out of everything that is a priority in this piece, is that the most important thing? And I will confess, I perhaps didn't focus on that as much as, say, you know, intonation, balance, dynamics, things like that. But Richard Strauss called this piece, Wagner, called this piece the apotheosis of the dance. And, you know, the more I looked at it now that I'm playing Irish music, I realized that the fast part of the first movement is in 6/8 time, which, of course, I did know. But it's actually a very specific dance form, which is called a jig. It's a 6/8 dance form. It's an Irish dance form. It is certainly not a German dance form. And so now I'm really confused. How is it that Beethoven came to write a jig when he's German and there is not a jig to be had in Germany? I looked. Somebody now will probably call and find one for me. I thought, this is really interesting. Is this just my Irish music brain, you know, imprinting this on this, or is this really a jig? I knew it was a jig. I also knew that that's why you can't whack the second beat, because it's a big no-no in Irish dance, because it'll make the dancers trip. But going back to this, I did some more research and came to discover that during the exact same time period during which the Seventh Symphony was written, Beethoven was commissioned to transcribe and arrange for a piano, trio, voice, all sorts of different instruments. I don't know, was it hundreds? I mean, huge numbers of Irish and Scottish and, I believe, Welsh tunes. He basically codified them, and to this day, there are scholars who will go to these Beethoven transcriptions to study tunes that had been lost because they were other than these transcriptions in the oral tradition. So, yes, Beethoven was completely immersed in Celtic music, which I believe is why he chose to write a jig for the opening of his very positive, enthusiastic, upbeat Seventh Symphony.
Now, you know, in the piano pieces that we heard at the start of the hour, I think you might have caught a minute or two of that. It still sounds very Beethovenian to me. Like, he's not trying to capture the folk lift. He turned it into variations. He put it through the brain of Beethoven for his purposes. At least that's how it sounded to me.
Oh, I would agree. I mean, remember that a jig is 16 measures. If it's really long, it's 24, 32 measures long, you know, with variations on its own, remember. But the Beethoven Seventh Symphony, you know, continues for 20 minutes for the first movement. So he clearly took this concept of this Celtic music and put his stamp on it very, very quickly.
It's wonderful. It is so neat to know, though, I didn't realize that he had delved so deeply into Celtic music from the British Isles on commission, you said. So was he being sent? Someone had transcribed tunes in Ireland and sent them to Beethoven to create settings. Was that the idea?
I believe that that's the case. Yes. I don't remember exactly. I have to do some research to see if that's the case or if he actually just listened to them, you know, which could have also been, but I believe he made some trips there.
That's a good question. Yeah. Did he hear an Irish player play these tunes, or were they just sent to him on paper? And as we both know, looking at Irish tunes on paper doesn't really give any sense of how to play them. It can be.
No, it certainly doesn't. Well, more research to be had for sure.
I'm speaking with conductor Anne Harrigan of the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra. This weekend's concert is at 7:30 on Saturday, November 21st. It's a virtual concert, so you can register for your ticket online at battlecreeksymphony.org. And this is a pay what you want event, as have been all of the season's concerts so far as this pandemic continues. A special concert, though, honoring the birthday of Ludwig van Beethoven. I think he was born December 16th, so we're pretty close at this point.
Yes, yes, we are. So, and it is December 16th for sure. That is also my brother's birthday, so we all celebrate his birthday at the same time. So, yes, we're very excited to be doing this. It's interesting, you know, when this all came about, there were a lot of questions. Could we do it? Should we do it? Answers to both was yes, but it wasn't something that was simple. But one of the things we came to very quickly is recognizing all of the difficulties that people are going through right now. We know that people need music in their lives more than ever. We wanted to make it possible. Of course, the Battle Creek Symphony is the oldest continuously operating orchestra in the state of Michigan. It was founded in 1899. Hmm. So think about that, Kara. We were around during the Spanish flu.
Yes, you were 20 years old at that point, sounds like.
Yes, we were. Battle Creek was an interesting town, and I'm sure that some of the history of Battle Creek has to do with the founding of the symphony, and you know, with the Kellogg brothers and everything that went with that. But I think that one of the things we decided is knowing that there's so many people who have been laid off or working less, just going through a lot of stress in their lives, we wanted to make this available to everybody, no matter their ability to pay. And so this is why we've decided to make it free of charge. And we are giving people the opportunity to donate if they so choose. But all they have to do is go online, as you said, and request a link, and they'll get it.
Let's talk about the concert itself and how you pulled it off. There are live players that are featured in the preparatory videos that we've been talking about. So this is kind of a real concert, a concert experience. You're conducting players on stage at W.K. Kellogg Auditorium.
Oh, yes. This is absolutely a real concert. It was pre-recorded. And I remember when we had our first rehearsal, it was a few weeks ago, and out of the string section, I think two people had played since March. Two people had played in an orchestra since March at that time, which is amazing. And you could tell the players were so excited to be back together again. But at the same time, I'm so proud of their health and safety protocols. So it was a regular concert, but, Kara, it was completely different. Because first of all, because of social distancing, we started mapping out stage blocks in March, laying out over what's the size of W.K. Kellogg Auditorium. You know, we wanted to make sure there was plenty of room for people to be safe. Everybody is masked except for the winds and the brass when they're playing. So what we did with them is we surrounded them with drum shields.
Mm-hmm. Plexiglass.
Cubicles.
Yeah.
Plexiglass, yes. And it works. Great. It really, I was surprised. I was a little concerned about how it would look and sound. It worked out fine. Some of the balance, you know, was a little bit different because they're bouncing off of plexiglass. But for the most part, I think it's worked out really wonderfully. And you can hear the palpable excitement on the part of the players when they're playing this music that they have been born and raised to do and practiced all their lives and have been denied it for, at this point, I think it was 9 months for most people. And so to play this piece that so many orchestras around the world have been preparing, and the Royal Concertgebouw Orchestra actually played this in June. It was the first concert that I heard, the first concert that I was aware of any orchestra in the world playing after the shutdown when they chose the Seventh Symphony. So I thought that was interesting. It's a whole team, though. It's not only the orchestra, but we have our recording technician, Martin Clem from WMUK Radio, and our audio technician, Ken Gilstrap out of Montana, and then Ingalls Pictures, who are two young men and from Battle Creek with ties to the Music Center. They did all of the videography and the post-production editing, which was finished last night.
Just in time for Saturday's release at 7:30.
Yes, yes.
So if you like to, you know, be part of an occasion and be there with everyone else, tune in Saturday at 7:30. Will it be available to watch afterward, though, if Saturday doesn't work out?
Yes. We're hoping people will watch Saturday. We really want people to join in on the chat and kind of get involved with the excitement of it. And then at some point in the future, it'll be available again. The main event is Saturday at 7:30.
One thing that popped out at me were the faces of Kalamazoo Symphony soloists. It looks like you have invited some terrific players from the KSO to be part of this performance in the woodwind section.
Talking about Georgi?
Yeah, that must be it, Georgi.
Yes,
Borisov.
So Georgi is our Georgi Borisov is our principal clarinetist.
Oh, so he's holding down two principal positions. I wasn't fully aware of that. Yeah,
that is not unusual. I would say that most orchestra musicians our principal Gabe Rentriera, he was substituting for our principal who was, couldn't get in from New York at the time, but he was subbing for us, and he has subbed for us on occasion, and he plays also with several different orchestras. So that also happens that players will play across the state and sometimes even across the region. In fact, I had a conductor who I emailed a link to because she was asking about the setup of the plexiglass, and she recognized quite a few players. So these players will, you know, on a normal time, play every single weekend in a different place. Imagine all of those opportunities and that income evaporating.
I'm just shaking my head. It's truly devastating for, well, as I've been saying in many conversations, this pandemic specifically hit live performance in a way that just couldn't be more devastating. Yeah.
It's true. But we were talking on a positive side, and we should really keep to a positive thing,
okay,
because this is such a celebration. No, it's easy to get sucked into that conversation, but it was so exciting. And one of the things, as you noticed, is that I love about this performance is you get to see the musicians up close, and you get to see close-ups of players. If you're in the audience, you wouldn't see the same way. And they've done a great job of focusing in on who has the melody, and bring you around, you know, to the different interpretations of the piece so you can really see all the players and what's going on in a way that's a completely different perspective than you would from anywhere in the hall. So it's kind of fun to be seeing the orchestra and seeing players that you've watched sometimes on stage for years. Barb Mykowiak, my goodness, she's played in that orchestra. She's a wonderful player over 25 years. And some people who are brand new, like Georgi and Yushin, who is playing concertmaster.
This concert video will be released Saturday night at 7:30. It's a pay what you want ticket. You can find it at battlecreeksymphony.org. And there are also 5 preparatory videos showing some highlights, and with Anne Harrigan, my guest right now, explaining how she looks at the music and what she wants to bring out and what you might want to listen for when you join in on Saturday night to hear this concert, hear and see this concert from a whole new perspective. BattleCreekSymphony.org, again, is that phone number. You mentioned Tchaikovsky. Should we spend a little time on this serenade?
Oh, please. It's such a beautiful piece. You know, it's an interesting tie-in between all these pieces. First of all, the Seventh Symphony was written during the War of 1812. And so it's an interesting tie-in because the Tchaikovsky Serenade was written at the same time as the 1812 Overture. So It's kind of a 6th degree of separation of all these pieces. And I should mention that our original programming called for the symphony to perform the 1812 Overture, not the Serenade for Strings.
Oh.
With a chorus, actually with a combined high school chorus. And we will do that again when there's a vaccine. But and so when we pivoted to the Serenade for Strings, it was actually a happy thing for me, even though I was disappointed, of course, not to perform the 1812 Overture. But I love the Serenade for Strings, and it never gets performed. Partly just economics. Once you've hired an orchestra, you want to make use of them. And if you've got a full orchestra, then you don't typically give up half of your rehearsal for a string piece.
Right. But this one is such a significant piece and well-beloved, you know.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. And interestingly, much preferred by Tchaikovsky. He, as I said, he wrote the 1812 Overture, which was a huge success right away. Everybody still loves it. And the Serenade at exactly the same time. And he was pretty open about the fact that he was very, very fond of the Serenade, preferred it, in fact. And he was very hard on himself. He didn't really say that anything he wrote was good. And so I think he said something like, this one wasn't too bad, but he actually loved it. It was his way of, you know, sort of self-deprecating way, but he was proud of the way it came across. It's quite technical, and it's got beautiful phrasing. And again, for me, it's the opening of the third movement, which is such a beautiful, intimate piece. And then the celebratory folk songs that ensue in the fourth movement are a great release from the poignancy of the third movement. And the second movement has a waltz, which is an interesting take. And of course, Tchaikovsky was well known for his waltzes. He even did waltzes in 5/4 time. I think it's the Pathetique Symphony.
Right.
And so this was one of his trademarks. But typically they were third movement pieces. And this, he moves it to the second movement, which is an interesting kind of emotional journey. Because typically in symphonic form, you'll have your opening movement, and then you'll have your slow movement, then a dance movement, which always was a minuet until Beethoven, and then Tchaikovsky turned it into a waltz, and then you've got your last movement, which is typically faster.
Yeah,
so by moving the waltz into that second movement kind of slot, he set a pace that had a lot of energy and real beauty and sweep to it, and a little bit of scandal. I bet you didn't know that the waltz was kind of like the rock and roll of its day, in which the older generation did not approve because you had to touch your partner.
Right. Yeah, well, and just hold her waist and, yeah.
I mean,
scandalous.
Not done. So, scandalous, yes. So, you know, putting that waltz in there, that was a little bit on the racy side for Tchaikovsky.
That's wonderful. I'm speaking with Anne Harrigan, who will conduct, or rather has conducted. Recorded a live concert performance, a live concert experience for Saturday at 7:30 p.m. Now, Anne, you mentioned that many of the players had not been able to perform with others for many months. And when it comes to the orchestra, string sections have to be awfully in sync with each other and simpatico with their section. Did that return quickly when you had these wonderful musicians back on stage?
It took some work. I mean, first of all, there's not only that, but remember, everybody's socially distanced now. So everybody is at least 6 feet apart. And instead of having two players on a stand, you've got one person on a stand. So it's very difficult for people to hear. And so it didn't happen all at once, but it definitely got there by the time it needed to, let's say that. And that's what rehearsals are for. It was the most challenging thing. And I also conducted in Billings, Montana. So I was ready for it. And it was interesting to hear the players' reactions, like, wow, it's really hard to hear. I feel like I'm the only person playing. But eventually their ears just adjusted, used more visual cues.
Oh, what a shame. We've lost Maestra Harrigan for the moment. I will try to reach her again. And in the meantime, I do have a little bit of Tchaikovsky to share from the Serenade for Strings. Let's see if that will do the trick for a little bit. Here is that waltz from the Serenade. There's that racy waltz from the Serenade for Strings by Tchaikovsky. And I have Anne Harrigan back on the line. Sorry we disconnected. Opportunity to hear some great Tchaikovsky. So let's take just a couple of minutes to, again, invite listeners to Saturday's online performance by the Battle Creek Symphony Orchestra, and let them know once again, it's Beethoven and Tchaikovsky. Would you tell us how to get our virtual tickets, perhaps?
Yes, it's very easy, but try to do so, and you can do so right up until the concert, although probably there's going to be a bit of a glut, so if you do it earlier, it's better. So go to battlecreeksymphony.org and scroll down, and you're going to see something that says, get free tickets. And you just fill out the form, and you should receive an email within a few days, actually probably the same day, with a link to the concert. If not, give us a call. Our phones will be active. We'll have somebody online during the concert to help you. Had a couple people just not getting used to, you know, sort of thing, and we're here to help get you set up. So once you sign up, you'll receive a link to the concert, and it will be ready to go. It will start right at 7:30, hopefully. It did start right at 7:30 the last time. So if it starts at 7:35, well, it's just like a live concert. Sometimes it takes a couple minutes to get things set up. We also have an online program book that's already there for you, and you can read the program notes, and that's about it.
One thing that has been pointed out to me by other arts presenters is that there's no limit on who watches this. It's not a local event necessarily. If you have a friend in Canada or somewhere elsewhere in the world, you could both go to this concert.
That's true. That's absolutely true. It's been a really nice thing. We have musicians, we've had family members all around the country who've been watching And as you said, even around the world. And it's a wonderful way to experience something together, even though you're apart.
Right. I love when I get to know, you know, what my sister's community is like when I visit, understanding about the rhythms of life there. And this could be much the same for people who are curious about Michigan life, you know, and Battle Creek, mm-hmm. which has the oldest symphony orchestra in the state of Michigan. You must be proud to be part of that legacy, I must say.
I am very proud and honored and grateful that we're able to continue to provide first-class music during the pandemic.
Well, let's hear the opening of this Beethoven Symphony No. 7, your favorite, Anne, and I don't blame you. It's one of the great ones. Beethoven liked it too, I hear. He was like, yeah, this is pretty good.
Yep, he was very proud of it.
Thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Kara.